Welcome to the ministry of Reverend David Edijenfi. Reverend David is the founder and president of Kingdom Mystery Center Worldwide. He is an end-time apostle mandated to raise matured sons of God who will explicitly manifest their identity in Christ. Reverend David has a dynamic music ministry and is the author of Dangers of Wrong Marriage. His strong passion for soul winning has spurred Jesus for All Missions, an evangelistic crusade ministry. Now listen to Reverend David Edijenfi.
Because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the ignorance, there is the darkness of understanding. Not that you don't understand, you understand, but what you have understood is dark. But tonight the light of God is going to flood your life. Tonight the light of God is going to flood your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. They have been alienated from the life of God. For in Him is life, and this life is the light of men. They have been alienated from that life, and therefore they are cut short from that light. And for that matter, progress, success, advancement has become a problem. You are not able to see well because there is the absence of light. But tonight, that is why you are here. Something supernatural is going to happen to you. I want you to take your seat. Quietly, just take your seat. At a point, I almost want to fall down. So I had to hold a chair. Some of you didn't see. My feet, my knees, but we will not stop. We'll keep pushing it. Because we don't want the devil to take advantage of us. The Bible says, because of the ignorance of this truth, the enemy is taking advantage of us. We have understood that one can be a believer, can be born again, and be harassed by demons. And you will only be going around and confessing, I'm the new creation of God. Yes, you are the new creation of God. But the same tree that God created was the same tree upon which the serpent was lying and talking to Eve. So you are the new creation of God. But you see, there are some things one has to know and one has to do to bring yourself out of some things. Why are you born again and still engaging in certain things? And you go home and cry after the pastor has preached. You feel so broken and you weep and tell yourself, today that is the end. I'm not going back to this thing again. It's over. But before you could say, Jack, that same thing you just prayed about, you find yourself going back to it again. Why is it that you are born again, but yet you have done all that you can for this womb to open for a baby, but it looks as though nothing seems working? Tonight it shall open.
Amen.
I said tonight it shall open.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Maybe you have a relative in the house. You can connect by faith. Wow, things are happening here right now, and you have no idea. The devil wants attention. So sometimes he can do some things so that your focus will be shifted from the glory of God, and then you'll be focused on him. That the fact that I'm teaching or rendering this teaching doesn't mean that we are giving Satan attention. No, we are just updating ourselves about matters we are supposed to know. Because we are not supposed to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. If you are ignorant of the devices of the enemy, by the time you realize, you are down. Many a times we begin to pray, and we pray against, we are praying against a certain spirit. We say spirit of bitterness. But you see, in the realm of the spirit, yes, bitterness is spiritual, but it's a spiritual arrow. It's not an entity. So you should not be ignorant of the devices. What are they? The Bible calls fear. Fear is not a feeling, but many people think that fear is a feeling. Fear is not just a feeling. Fear is a spirit. The Bible says, for I didn't give you the spirit of fear. Fear is an entity. It's a personality. It's a spirit. And in the realm of the spirit, he's actually the prison officer. I want us to understand all these things. And fear is what stops us from making progress. Of course, when you're in prison, you can't make any progress. Tonight, I just want us to talk about the mediums of access to demons in the life of Christians. How do demons get access to Christians? If we agree that truly, 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 they are able to have access to Christians. And how do they do that? We understood, or we have been understanding, that demons are disembodied spirits. That's just a recap. Who are looking for bodies to occupy. And when they take occupancy of the body, what actually happens is that it begins to express itself. So its nature begins to live in you. So if the demon is a demon of lust, you begin to feel lustful. If the demon is a demon of, anger, you begin to feel angry. And actually, you realize that people get angry. At certain times, we all come into a certain point where we fall into lust, one or two or the other. You can fall into the lust for food. You can fall into the lust for money. You can fall into the lust for women. You can fall easily. That is if you are not careful. But you see, you have to learn how to reverse the gear quickly and reposition yourself again. But you see, for you to enter into lust, which you realize that is uncontrollable, because we understood that one of the ways to know that there is a demon in operation in your life is when there's an uncontrollable condition. You are a drunkard, you drink beer. You started in small, but now you have got to a certain point that as well in Yanida Kurabibi, yo. Like I told you, that sister that said, he said, if I don't get a man to sleep with me, Pastor, I'm not able to sleep. Then you begin to realize that there is a certain entity behind it. Let's look at Ephesians 2, the verse number 2. And then you will understand what I'm talking about. When you begin to see that somebody is living a disobedient life, and you realize that we have done the counseling, we have spoken to the person, we have done everything that we are supposed to do, but yet still, this person is not able to stop. Though at a certain point in time, you realize that he himself or she himself, herself doesn't really get excited about the life, the condition of his life. Then you should understand that it's not ordinary. So the scripture said, wherein time past, you walked according to the course of this world. According to what? The course of this world. And what is causing you to walk in the course of this world? He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you realize that there is a disobedience action, but yet this one is motivated by a certain spirit. And that is the spirit that causes you to disobey God. That is the spirit that causes you to disobey God. How do demons take over Christians? There are two places demons can take over your life. Number one place is your soul. Number two place is your body as a Christian. As a Christian, a demon cannot settle in your spirit. You cannot be possessed by a demon, but you can be oppressed by a demon. There are certain menstrual pains. I'm telling you the truth. They are not ordinary. I have gone for programs. I have casted. One day I was praying for a lady and I saw a crab down there. Hospital, not knowing it was a crab. Some of them are not normal. So some things are not natural. The moment you realize that the temple has shifted from the natural realm and you cannot explain, you should understand. Look, let me tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is that it is not, listen to me very careful. This our Galamsey problem in Ghana, I'm telling you. Yes, it started from indiscipline, but now it has entered into a territory where now it is not natural again. Why? Because sacrifices have been paid. Human sacrifices by the Galamseyers have paid certain things. Now spirits are interested in the Galamsey. So the president is trying his best, but you'll be very, very surprised that the people that surround the president, they are the very people that have even do the calamity. And I'm sure by now the president is getting very disappointed. I'm very, very sure. Because you cannot understand why you are spoiling the water, and you know you are spoiling it, and you still feel like I want to spoil it. It is a demon. This session, I'll be teaching you people on fallen angels. We'll go very far before I touch on Lucifer himself, so you can understand where we are going. That is why I don't want you to be joking. You don't come into these meetings and come and joke around. No. It's not about that. What are the mediums by which demons are able to get access into a Christian's life? Number one, through personal sin or ancestral sin. Through personal sin or ancestral sin. One day Jesus Christ met a blind man and decided to heal the blind man who has never seen from infancy, since he was born. He had never seen before. John 9, the verse number 1 to 3. John 9, the verse number 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? So it means that Jesus had taken the people through a tutorial and has taught them about the fact that certain sickness are as a result of the sins of men. It could be you or your ancestors. There are certain homes when you enter the place, there are certain conditions which are going on in the home. It's because maybe your great-grandfather killed a certain pregnant woman for some ritual or something. Some people have done some things years past. And some of us, we are now going through it. Some of the powers of darkness, the familiar spirits, which are also demons, that rule in our families, many of them, they are not meant to settle in our spirit. So it is not difficult for you to get born again. They don't oppose you to be born again, but they are actually supposed to regulate or operate in your soul realm. They are actually supposed to let you become a fornicator, no matter how born again you become. They are actually supposed to let you become a bitter person, no matter how born again you become. So they operate in that realm. And you see, one thing is that you are so familiar with them that you find it difficult to change. Because one of the challenges for change is when you are changing from familiar things, conditions. Because of uncertainty of the new terrain you are going to face, there is that fear of the unknown that causes you not to welcome the new changes. That is why when somebody breaks your heart, you don't want to allow the person to go. For all you know, a better person is coming. But because you are not certain, the fear of uncertainty. So you want to hold on to that one. Let him go. Let her go. One of the things I've learned in this very life is that if you learn how to trust in God, you always get good things in life. No matter what. My heart has been broken before. I've suffered many atrocities. This small heart, it has gone through many things. But now I have a beautiful wife. By the special grace of God. Certain things we do grants the opportunity to the devil for some demons to take hold of our lives. For the love of money, people do a lot of sacrifices. And by the time you realize, they have placed their heads under certain conditions, and they are being ruled by the powers of darkness. The Lord just opened my eyes. Somebody's having deliverance right here. It's about your mind. This person, you almost went mad. It's not pressure. It was a demonic influence. You are right here. I don't want to call you out. But as I'm preaching, the light of God is flooding your mind. The light of God is flooding your mind. The person knows himself. It wasn't ordinary. What are you turning to wine? You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. I love this part. He said, into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. Lord, there's no one like you. Let's sing the same verse again and say, what are you turning to wine? Somebody meditate on the words. Open the eyes of the blind. Lord, there's no one like you. Hallelujah. Come on, do it.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. For you are higher.
the scriptures, the Bible speaks about a woman called Miriam. Miriam was the senior sister of Moses. And the Bible speaks about the fact that at a certain point in time, Miriam was also a prophetess. And a prophetess, he also operates in the prophetic. He's able to see small. She's able to prophesy and tell about people's visions and all those things. And one day, Miriam breached the law. You see, when you sing, it's a breach. And the Bible says that when you break the edge, the serpent will bite you. When you break the edge, the serpent will bite you. So Miriam breached the law or the rank and lifted her voice against her pastor, Moses, though Moses was his kid brother. But when it comes to anointings, it is not about who is older. It's about who the Lord has called. And when Miriam spoke against Moses, the Bible says that immediately leprosy fell upon her. Leprosy fell upon her. The only thing, and one of the things that will cause you to inherit demonic infestation, is a certain hidden sin. Many a time it's a certain hidden one. The hidden one. The one that, you see, this morning we understood that the demons, they love to tell you that what? Let us alone. They don't want anybody to know they are around. The same way you don't want anybody to see that that secret thing is hiding with you. That is where they feed. That is where they feed. I was in my office one day about to come and preach, preparing, and a man, a young guy, ran into me. And this guy is a pastor's son. The pastor is in town. And I didn't know him from Adam. Yes, he started introducing himself. I'm a pastor's son. I'm from this here, blah, 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 blah. But yes, last night, I went to sit somewhere and had sitting with the brothers. And afterwards, I caught a lady and I went to sleep with the lady at night. He said, after I slept with the lady, he said, pastor, I can see that my soul is coming out of my body. And I was praying and something told me I should run to you here. I didn't know I'll come and meet you. Pastor, I have come. So I lifted my hand and I cursed the spirit of death. And he fell, bam, into the chair. This young man was standing there. He doesn't look like somebody was going to die. Just rebuking the spirit of death, the person fell down, bam, just like that. What caused that? What introduced the spirit of death? Sin. You are born again. The Bible says that upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. It means that without deliverance, there cannot be holiness. And he said, the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Without deliverance, there cannot be holiness. And without holiness, one cannot possess his possessions. See? See? Some of the things we do. Look, I've met somebody who tells me that, pastor, said, pastor, you see, if it is demonic, it is uncontrollable. You can explain why. Mark 5, the Bible says that the man was in the tombs cutting himself with stone. Is it a sweet thing to be cutting yourself with? It's not sweet. Cutting himself with stones, bleeding to death, yet he couldn't stop. They bind him with chain, he breaks it. Uncontrollable events. Nice believers walking on the street with tie, nice dressing, but yet infested. If the Lord is supposed to open our hearts here, we'll be shocked at each other. We'll be very, very surprised at each other. Very, very, very surprised. Sometimes I can be walking on the street and I meet people and I can just see through you. And some of the sins we committed, it doesn't just affect us, it affects the third and fourth generation. So certain sins have been committed, and it has granted authority to certain demons to inherit certain positions in the family and causing certain conditions in the family, and you don't understand. Yes, you got born again, it didn't block you, but when you got born again, just like Gideon, who was asked to go back to his father's house to break down the altars, your altars are still standing. The things that fight you, they are still standing. The truth of the matter is that he will not stop you from coming to church. He will not stop you from praying. He will not stop you from reading the Bible. Some of them will not stop you from reading the Bible. Some of them will not stop you from going to church. Some of them will not stop you from praying. But there are others that they stop you. There are demons that will not allow you to read the Bible. They will give you many reasons why you don't have to read the Bible. They will discourage you, and you think that they are weather. No, you will think that, and some of you will be interested so much in your WhatsApp so much that Bible is not something you really look at. For a whole week, you have not even looked into the Word of God. And you say you are a believer. What do you believe in? You believe in WhatsApp, Facebook, or the Word? He will not prevent you, but he will make sure that your business don't do well, because it is you that got born again, not your business. He will make sure that something bad happened to your children somewhere. He will make sure that a certain disease that will take money from you. Why should a tithe payer? The Bible talks about, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Is that not it? God requested tithe from the children of Israel. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Just for being a son of God, a child of God, it should be enough for the devourer to go away, don't you? But he said that, pay the tithe and I will rebuke the devourer. That means that when you fail to pay, a devourer will be in your life. And that devourer, some of you don't know, it could be even the mobile phone that takes money from you. It could be the rate at which your phones get lost and then you have to buy a new one. It could be the rate at which I want to be another copy will be in your money here, and you have to pay. It could be a certain sickness that has to, you have to always take it to the hospital. But tonight, I curse that devourer in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse that devourer in the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot keep entertaining them. Sin is actually the fruit for demons to feed on. It's like baller for vultures. Sin is actually the fruit for them to feed on. So as long as you keep doing it, what you are doing is that you are empowering the demons over you. You are empowering them over you. You are empowering them over you. You are empowering them over you. Paul says something. He said, there is another law in my members. There is another law. Let's look at Psalm 91, the verse number 5-7, if I'm right. The verse number 7, look at what is there. He said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Let's move on. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Let's move on. Verse 8. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. Because all these things are happening because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You can't love righteousness and suffer atrocities. It's not possible. He asked Satan, he said, have you tried my servant Job? He said, he's the most perfect man on earth. Can you imagine? Satan had moved to and fro looking for somebody to devour. Saw Job and could only look at Job and just pass. Couldn't touch Job. Why? And went to God and told God, Mipobia possessing, Mipobia destroying. Send me the only send me a corner the destroyer. Mipobia destroying. Now, mission is, I said, now what consider Job? I said, now Job, they said, what happened? Hope I. It wasn't because God has protected Job. Job was hidden in God. So, devil, Satan himself, Lucifer could not even get access to him. So to live a righteous life is enough edge to keep you from demonic infestation. And then we are in the church. and in the choir, and choir director, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and we have divided ourselves 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, and because of that, I'm not getting here because of cocaine, choir director, Abu Befu, because what can a girlfriend ask him? And you are destroying things. And we stand up there and we say we are ministering holy songs. And I get surprised at that song that says that, so we lift up holy hands with one accord, yet we are not accorded. Today people get sick and we lay hands and the power of God is not able to release himself onto the people. Why? One day I heard a story that a demon manifested, a witch manifested to a woman. And the woman got up and shouted, Yesumo Jan Kawani. I said, Yatiabre. Yatiabre. Opening kretua, dear me, opening kretua, or the chiraswa, as you said, your befili, Bakole kretua, wait my daughter, Kakra, Ajadiano. If you are not righteous enough, you can't fire the bullets of the spirit. No, it doesn't work. Sanity. There must be sanity and sanctity. When we finish university, they call something clearance form. You must have a clearance form well filled. No space. You shouldn't have anything to do with the beza or a librarian. No. When we check your list, when we check it from last, we shouldn't have any problem with last. We shouldn't have any problem with anger. You shouldn't have problem with bitterness. We shouldn't have problem with unforgiveness. You shouldn't have problem. No, you shouldn't have any problem with that. You shouldn't have problem with that. Can you imagine one day we have to pray for a certain woman about a chronic sickness? And when we made an attempt to pray, the Lord said, I tell her to forgive. I said, the Lord shall tell you to forgive. And then when she cried and cried and cried and said, I'm forgiven, she just fell down. Bah, that was all. The sickness left. No prayer. Ah. So what was holding the demon there was actually unforgiveness. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Child of God, listen to me. Make a pledge yourself that you are going to go for the Lord. This morning we understood that we are supposed to be born again. Our spirit is supposed to be born again. Our soul is supposed to be transformed again. And our bodies is supposed to be presented again. Present the body unto Christ. That is your reasonable worship. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that don't allow your members to serve iniquity. Church, above every other thing, the Lord Jesus is coming. It is very dangerous for us to be in the church and serve and sing. And you see, don't let us end it as entertainment. And let us see the whole thing. Because when we come to church and we lift, and the trumpet has lifted a trumpet and wants to blow it, it should bring a prophetic sound out. When a keyboard touches something, it should be a melody of the spirit. And when I lift my voice to sing, heaven should respond. We should be communicating and edifying the body of Christ, equipping the bride of the Lord, dressing the bride to present it in the days of what? The appearing of the groom. But here we are. Shekataya bada bada. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. You are my glory, Lord. You are my glory, Lord. Oh, my glory, Lord. You are my glory, Lord. Nobody. Now hear this. John 14:30 said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. And Jesus said, but he has nothing in me. Does he have anything in you? Number two thing that allowed demons to infest a believer is covenants and altars. Covenants and altars. You see, when we talk about covenants and altars, the first thing that comes into people's mind is that fetish altar in your house and all those things. But I'm here to tell you that there are covenants which you may not involve a fetish that is established. This woman sitting there, she's my covenanted partner. There's a covenant between me and this woman. And when the covenant is broken, there is one thing that I suffer. One of the things I suffer, when you read Malachi, it is there. The Bible says that when thou were giving your vow to the wife of your youth, that was I not standing there? The Bible says that when you dishonor your wife, the Lord will not hear your prayer. So I will suffer unanswered prayer for not honoring my wife. She will suffer unanswered prayer for not honoring the husband. There are some things just standing there and making certain utterances. You are actually establishing certain covenants. Sadi we paadiye. Se manye paadiya. Ayre muncha. And you think you just said it. When you read the Bible said there are demons all over who are looking for habitation. Covenants and others. Wrong speeches. For there is life and death in the power of the tongue. What is power? Power is the ability to cause change. What is authority? Authority is the ability to command power. The power is the ability to cause change. And what causes change? The scientists, the physicists here would let us know that it is force. When force is applied and there is a distance or a change, it means that what? There is what? Work done. Is that not it? Have I calculated it well? Work is got to what? Force times what? Distance. Obi hold my finger, I formula. Ah, hallelujah. When you speak, you have released that power to command the forces. So if you speak good things will happen to you. But if you speak bad things, there are demons in charge of death. They will infest your life. They will infest your life. So you are a believer, but yet you have commanded demons into your favor. Certain covenants which are ancestral covenants, and they have also been established. And when we talk about covenants, they are actually legal systems established. They are systems which are legally established by agreements between two entities. So somebody will go to a fetish or a place and say, well, we say, Mamia, Minima Bushina, Bironina, Eshua, Boyenia, Bobby Menina, Hobby, say, Afibia, Beba, that was a bill, that man is dead and gone. And that entity is still boying Hobby. And you don't even know, you are born again. You are born again. I said that one, he won't stop you. But you do Tinidia, obey making sure so bad, obey. Pastor, what are you talking about? I say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel and to preach deliverance to the captive. It is also the work of the anointing. So if I fail to talk about this, then I'm not anointed. Are you here or you have gone home? So legal systems of authorization agreements between two or more entities with benefits and consequences attached, if obeyed or broken, and sometimes sealed with blood. One day, I remember, as I was coming up, I fell in love with a certain lady. She told me, we should do blood covenant. I said, mba. Mba da. Blood, which one? The thing is about the heart. If the heart is not enough for you, why? You can't trust me. Is my heart, my blood going to make you trust me? I said, mba. In fact, that day, that was the day the thing broke. that day. The moment I realized that she's a covenant girl, she wants covenant. No, Charlie. This one can't help me. You have to break it here and now. What do you think? Some of you are here and you have done many of them. The Lord deliver you. Amen. I said, the Lord deliver you. Amen. And some of these things, you see, it's not just the pronouncement. There are certain ways we have to go through, take you through, to come out of them. And until some of these things are broken, look, there are certain things you will try and do them and try over and over again, and it will not work, and you will not understand. Some of you are not getting married because of a certain boyfriend you had, your first boyfriend you met in your life, and the kind of exchanges that went on. Now, where do baby our boyfriend and the only nature, but still, our running back on Tiasse, who will fix that? You know. Urefi. Some of you entered into covenant. Some of you, do you know what happened? Certain people wrote on slates and washed it and poured it into water or into food for you to drink. And when you got born again, you said, break. Mademe home. And somebody stood in front of you and said, my pile found the amount. And you think, yeah, okay. It doesn't work like that. I'm telling you, listen to me, the devil is not powerless. The Bible says that you shall tread upon snakes and scorpions and all the powers. He's not powerless. So don't take him for granted. Don't take him for granted. Number three. Is it three or four?
Three.
Number three, which is one of the dangerous ones that arrests all of us. Disobedience. Disobedience actually in the realm of the spirit is a force that causes changes. The same way obedience is also a force that causes enforced changes. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, the chapter number 28, or better still, let's start from Leviticus 26, 3 to 13. He said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandment and do them, then I will give you a rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and none shall make you what? Afraid, and I will raid evil beasts out of your land. Your obedience alone is enough for the Lord to deliver you from certain evil beasts. And your disobedience. Deuteronomy 8, 28, the verse number 15. Let's see what's there. Deuteronomy 28, the verse number 15. What's there? But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commands and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Say, mercy, Lord. When you continue to read, the register of the curses are there. You can see if your own is inside. It's there. Disobedience. It's actually a spirit that influences us to disobey God. Say, has God said you should not eat the tree? Oh, God didn't say that. Oh no, God, there is actually a spirit that is always interested in what God has said to us and wants to manipulate our heart so that we disobey, because it is in our disobedience we enter into curses and the devil takes advantage of us. Child of God, these things, we find ourselves in them because of ignorance. Disobedience. You see, because of time, let me just brush it. But you see, don't take certain instructions for granted. Especially in the house of God. Don't take it for granted. Do this, do that. Don't do it, don't do it. Let's go, let's go. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Whatever we say, do, just do it. As simple as that. Saves you. It saves you. You will not do it. I can see we are quiet. There is hope for you. I said there is hope for you. Do you know why you are alive? You are alive because God has a wonderful plan for you.
You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Moving in me. Oh, I worship you.
Take me to verse 5. Take me to verse 5. Verse number 5. They know not, neither will they understand. Of course, you can't understand what you don't know. Because of that, he said, they walk on in darkness. Because of that, and I have told you that darkness is a symbol of demonic presence. They know not, neither. Hey, your ignorance will, you see, the devil will not pardon your ignorance. The Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. It is for the same reason. And many of the demonic infestations we go through in our present is because of lack of knowledge. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundation, all the beautiful life, all the marital life, all the financial life, the foundation is out of course. Why? They know not. They walk on. Verse number says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And then verse number 7 said, but ye shall die like mere men. You are gods, but because of lack of knowledge, you will die as a mere man. But tonight, light has come to you. I said, light has come to you. That is why you shouldn't lack knowledge in these matters. No, it's not proper. It cannot be. Ignorance is darkness. A lack of knowledge leads to blindness and darkness. Satan rules in the lives of many because of ignorance. Ignorance concerning his work and kingdom is the cover of darkness his demons operate under. Those who are ignorant are in dark. Those who are in dark are under the authority of the enemy. Now, he is the ruler of darkness. Let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the verse number 12. Look at what the Bible says there. Ephesians is the verse number 12. I'm finishing. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of what? Against the rulers of what? There are spirits that rule in your ignorance, that rule in darkness. The extent of the darkness in your life would determine the maximization of demonic presence. If you are saying now, go. They know not. There are rulers of darkness. There are demons that rule. When there is darkness in your life, they become happy. They become very happy. Because they are able to do many things in that darkness. They rule. They rule. They take dominion. They call them rulersness. Ruler's darkness. Proverbs 11, the verse number 9. Look at what the scripture said. Oh, I love it. I love it. Proverbs 11, the verse number 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But look at the last part. I'll say, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Hallelujah. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. The entrance of thy word brings light and illumination. Thy word is a lamp and a light. The moment the word of God comes to you, the light of God has shined on your path, and darkness cannot comprehend. In the realm of the spirit, whatever you know is light. It's a kind of light. The extent of the revelation that has been made known unto you determine the lumens of the light you carry. We have degrees of light. Degrees of light. One day the Lord told me, I was going to preach somewhere, and as I was going, the Lord spoke to me, there is darkness in the light. I didn't understand it. I thought it was a topic for that day. And that was the day I met your brother, your cousin, Paco. I was going to preach at their school. He said, there is darkness in the light. So when I got there, I said, today the topic I'm preaching is, there is darkness in the light. And after I said it, I didn't have anything to see. I was just standing there. You see, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me. Because many times when I give the topic, he begins to speak to me, and I begin to speak. But nothing was coming. I'm starting to say, me preaching them, I prepare no one. I didn't understand the thing until later in the year, this year, then I understood what the Lord was saying. He said, I was talking about you. The Lord was speaking to me, and I didn't understand it. There is darkness in light. How can there be darkness in light? Sometimes you can have a certain knowledge, which you think that is knowledge that must bring you light. But actually, the knowledge you carry is darkness. That means you can have something you think it's true, but you're actually walking in falsehood, unaware. And the devil takes advantage of that. Because he presents himself as an angel of light. He presents himself as an angel of light. But actually, he is darkness within.
We give you all the glory. We worship you.
For some few people, but for the time, I just feel like praying for some few people. I believe some of you, your deliverance is today. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. That lady there, that lady there, that lady there, the one there. Come. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. Come on, lift your hands and sing it out to him. Come on, sing it and say, we give you all the glory. Oh,
we give you all the glory. We worship you.